Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.
This is Sound and Vision on KEXP. I'm Emily Fox. Josiah Johnson released his first solo record on Friday. Josiah Johnson started out his career with the Seattle-based band Head in the Heart. You can hear his voice in this song of theirs called Rivers and Roads.
Been talking about the way things change. And my family lives in a different state.
Josiah Johnson's solo record is called Every Feeling on a Loop.
But the world's not gonna end.
I caught up with Josiah Johnson back in January to talk about his musical journey through addiction and sobriety, about going solo and this new record. He started off by taking us back to his departure from Head in the Heart.
It was the end of 2015, officially. When they were like, you can't be here. We more want you to be alive than to try and keep going with us as is.
Are you willing to elaborate on that? Like, they want you to be alive.
We were like recording Signs of Light, and it was the first week there, and I like disappeared for a day and didn't show up to the studio and didn't answer phone calls or texts or anything. And which is a really, you know, not nice thing to do and like out of control for me. And they were just like, we love you. Like, go figure your stuff out. And like, we can't like worry about, we need to focus. We can't worry about whether or not you're alive. And, yeah. And there was like, it was always like, please figure your stuff out. And like, please come back when you feel like it's sorted and when you feel solid. So,
are you
that was a really wonderful like gift that they gave me, because I needed someone to give me permission to just go, like, I don't have to try and keep holding it all together, because I couldn't.
So you were struggling with addiction at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to talk about just kind of what was happening in your life personally when, you know, back in 2015?
I think I had done a poor job of taking care of myself when we toured, even more so than like your average bear does. And didn't keep in touch with friends at home, and I didn't, you know, share, you know, about like hard feelings or like confusion that I had. And so I would be on tour, be having a hard time, like, you know, drink to just deal. And then I would get home and I would really not know what to do with myself and didn't have any kind of support system or like habits for like reaching out to people and just kind of really lose myself and just this cycle. And then like, and then that affects, you know, like creativity. I didn't have really any relationship with it to speak of. And so then I'd come back to the band, you know, and John had written a bunch of wonderful songs and like I didn't have any. And then I felt worse about myself. It was just this weird, this terrible cycle. It was really just that of just not knowing how to deal. And then like letting that kind of spiral down the drain.
But I mean, I can imagine touring can be so hard. We've talked a lot about this a lot on KEXP and Sound and Vision, where it's just like you're on tour, you're playing all these shows at night, you know, you're kind of like in this party atmosphere in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're away from your normal life. You're kind of living this separate life. You come back to your normal life and you're like, life has gone on without me, and now I'm having to readjust back home. And so there's two dueling things. Is one, you know, being able to, you know, being on tour, going from city to city, having to perform, put on this face, you know, be energized, partying is probably included, and then adjusting to life back home. I mean, is that kind of what started, you know, everything off for you in terms of just issues around addiction?
I definitely remember leaving within the first couple of years. We were gone, I think, like 11 months the first year that we were really touring, and then 10 months the next year. And so like 2 years passed, we were pretty much gone all the time. And I remember coming back home, and like all of my like friend group that I had like had different friends, and they had different inside jokes. And I just was like, I don't know where I belong now. You know, like that was totally a thing too, where you just, like, in addition to like how difficult it is to be on the road, coming home and not, and I didn't know how to like reintegrate either. So, yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Can you talk about your decision to go on and start making music solo?
It was less of a decision. Like, I actually, when Head in the Heart was like, you can't be here right now, but please go get solid and you can come back whenever you like. I remember just thinking that I didn't know what the future was going to hold. And I knew myself well enough to know that if I was like trying to get back there, that I would take any kind of shortcuts to like figure out, you know, like I need to get back as quickly as possible kind of thing. And so like for me, the mental trick was to just go like, I just have to let that go like altogether. And then if it comes back, it comes back, but I can't even like think about that at all. And so I let it go. And I said, I'm not going to play music anymore. I don't have a relationship with it anyways. So it's not like a big loss right now. And I just was trying to figure myself out and trying to figure out how to like deal with life. And then like pretty quickly I started doing the thing that I like have done for most of my like post-adolescent life, which is like write songs to figure out, you know, like what my feelings were. And then I started writing songs and not worrying about like whether or not they were good enough. And it just started like making sense again.
But it's like the you didn't put the pressure on yourself to be like, I got to get back to Head in the Heart. Because you wanted to kind of do it on your own terms. You didn't have that pressure to hit a certain goal mark to get back.
It's less like on my own terms and more just like didn't want to. A thing that my brain does is like see what it's trying to get and like try and do whatever it needs to get there or say whatever it needs to say to get there. And that doesn't like always serve me, you know? And I think like if I made the goal of like, I want to be back in Head in the Heart, then I would take shortcuts that I like didn't feel like would actually be beneficial, yeah, you know, to healing this body.
Yeah. But also you were able to find creativity on your own.
Yeah.
And you're,
yeah,
able to write songs again, yeah, to process, yeah, your feelings.
Yeah.
How has songwriting been for you personally, you know, to just tap into your inner self? You know, you're working on stuff as a solo artist. How has that been kind of on the path to recovery, you know, following addiction?
The best way to think about that would be that I've like encountered, this is very, I live in the Bay Area now. I've encountered the like, that like, a song is like medicine, you know, like whether it's like for healing or for, you know, like isolation or for, you know, whatever else, is medicine of some kind. And I started writing songs that like, that when I sang them, like the medicine that I was taking was like, was for wholeness, you know? And songs that I would write, like, would kind of come to me in like flashes, you know, like I wouldn't write anything for weeks. I would like show up and try and think things to sing and like, it wouldn't make sense. But then like, I would just like hold my hands out and like something would drop from the sky and it would be something that I would never have been able to like tell myself on my own. But here I had this artifact that was just like, you're going to be okay. You know, like you're worried that, you know, that everything's over or, you know, that you can't go back to where you've been, but like you'll get there, you know, like be patient. And I couldn't have told myself that consciously. And so there was this like receiving gifts of songs as opposed to writing them.
I'm speaking with Josiah Johnson on KEXP's Sound and Vision. And the single off of your new solo record is called The World's Not Gonna End.
But the world.
What is this song about?
This song is one of the songs that I was definitely thinking about when I was talking about that celebration of a hard situation of just like seeing like I'm here in this mess and yet like it's going to be okay. And I like see that on the other side of this hardship is like transformation and like growth. That was one of the first songs that I wrote for this album. And I just remember driving back down to my parents' house. I lived with my parents for a couple of years, which is like humbling to get used to when you're like 30 something and have been living your dream for a while, traveling around the world, playing music. But I was driving home. Actually, it was a Damien Dorado show in San Francisco, and I was driving home, and just like was feeling really strongly the absence of the life that I used to have. You know, I was just like, there's this person that I like used to play music with in Seattle that I just saw on stage, and it was such a beautiful show, and I like wanted to get back there, and I was driving, and I remember I just had this like moment of peace and clarity where I was just like, I feel up against a wall right now. I feel like there's no way out of this hole that I've dug myself into. But I remember saying a lot around then, like that life is long in this really heartening way where it was just like, oh yeah, this might be where I am right now. But like, I know that life is long, and I know where I was 2 years ago is drastically different than where I am now. And I bet that where I will be in 2 years is drastically different than where I am now. So just like the chorus of the song is just like, the world's not going to end if you do not get your way again. And I just remember making peace with that, like, it's not the time. If it's not the time for you right now, like, that is totally fine.
If you do not get your way again, my friend.
So I notice there are parts in this song and parts of other songs you've written where you almost start writing from a female perspective.
Yeah.
Like you have a line in this song, World's Not Gonna End. The greatest task for the modern woman like me is to find what is within herself.
The greatest task for the modern woman like me is to find what is within herself. It's just so loud everywhere else, and to love what is within herself.
And there's a few other songs that you've written since you've gone solo that are also kind of written from a female's perspective.
Yeah.
Why kind of get into that element or that way, that perspective within a song?
Another thing that I kept running into a lot in the process of trying to heal and get sober was that like, that I didn't have a lot of tools. I mean, we were talking about it a lot now. It's like, it's no secret that like men were trained really poorly, you know?
You can't talk about your feelings. Yeah. You can't show emotion. You gotta be tough and like let it all in, you know, toughen up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just, it was interesting to like, it was interesting to realize that like where I was getting all of my wisdom from and the part of myself that I was having to activate if I was going to like heal was a part of myself that wasn't like manly, or, and I wasn't getting the wisdom from like my man friends. Mm-hmm. Man friend is whatever. But like the people that knew how to like be soft, and the people who knew how to be humble, and the people who knew how to apologize like with grace were none of the men that I had as role models in my life. And like women did it like pretty second naturedly around me. And I think I thought a lot about just like activating the female half of my soul in this whole process of just going like, now is not the time for the part of you that is like characteristically male. We don't really have use for those traits right now. So I think that's kind of where a lot of that gender playing comes from.
I'm a woman.
Are there any other tracks on this new record that, you know, the stories that you want to share that might have highlighted, you know, just what you've been through personally over the past few years, like a song that really captures, you know, that story that you want to talk about?
I think my favorite song on the record is probably Rise Up. or the most meaningful one to me. That's the one that like we close every show with. That one was like the one that like the entire thing dropped out of the sky in like 10 minutes. And it was just like the perspective for someone that was like constantly worrying whether or not like everything was going to be okay ever again, you know? It like holds a lot of space in like this really kind of slow moving, like hymn almost, but it like brings me a lot of peace. And that's like a thing that I've needed maybe the most in this whole thing.
I've been speaking with Josiah Johnson, formerly of Head in the Heart. His first solo record, called Every Feeling on a Loop, was released on Friday.
You are worried that the sun will not rise in the morning again. And you are worried that the roads are not open for you to come home.
That was Sound and Vision. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. I would love to see 5 more ratings by the end of the week and 2 more reviews. Ratings and reviews and subscribing help deem this podcast worthy in the digital world that we live in. And if you can go the extra mile, please consider giving a one-time $20 donation to support this podcast at kexp.org/sound. Thanks for listening.